I invite you to be seated. Settle down and get yourselves uncomfortable. I don't want you to get too comfortable and fall asleep, you understand. What do you call a group of buffalo together? A herd, okay. What about a gathering of bees? A swarm. Michael, I was going to call on you for that. You see a group of birds there called a... No trick questions here. Good, you're doing well. What do you call toads all piled together? A knot of toads. What do you call swans when they gather together? They're a bevy. How many of you knew that one? Yeah, that's a different one. How about crows? A murder of crows. That's exactly right. A murder of crows. Oddly enough, I thought crows and ravens were the same bird. I am not a birder. My sister knows her birds left and right. But I thought crows and ravens were the same. Ravens are called differently. They're called an unkindness. An unkindness of ravens. They're very smart birds, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but crows, ravens, true story, are tool users. They gather tools, use tools, and can actually fish, for example, grubs out of logs with a stick so that they can eat. They're very smart birds. I don't know why God gave them wise brains and that obnoxious voice that they have. I might ask that same question about humanity, but we won't go down that road very far. The cover of the bulletin, and Paya has it up there for us, that's supposed to be a raven. I've never heard of a white raven. Does anyone know anything about white ravens? I don't. And I looked at that and thought about it and didn't want to confuse anyone, but that is the raven feeding Elijah in the wilderness. We heard that this morning. We heard that account that Debbie read it. Elijah has challenged all of the ministers of Baal, hundreds of them, and he alone has bested them, and they have been killed, and the queen is angry. He flees for his life. This is Elijah, the great prophet. He flees for his life, and he goes under the broom tree and says, "It's enough. I'm ready to die." And God sends the ravens to feed him, and they feed him, and he goes on with what they ate for 40 days. With the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights, he went on. That's the title of my sermon. Kind of interesting how I tie it in, isn't it? Are you proud of me? Thank you so very much. So Elijah was sustained by that food for 40 days and for 40 nights. There's other 40s in the Bible. Can you think of a few? I remember there was this guy, and there was water, and there was a boat. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. You remember Noah and the ark? 40 days and 40 nights it rained. When Moses went up onto Mount Sinai, do you recall? He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the Sinai covenant with the people. And you recall that after the Red Sea, Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. Couldn't stop and ask for directions. The joke even tied in. It was pointed out in one of the commentaries I read that there is a parallel between the Israelites traveling through the water of the Red Sea and then being 40 years in the wilderness to Jesus' baptism and 40 days in the wilderness. This was the Hebrew baptism in the Red Sea. Is it possible? Is it something that would have been just coincidence? Methinks God is a little bit more adept than that. So 40 years. Our New Testament passage is Jesus' baptism in Luke. It is intriguing that we are most familiar with the story out of Matthew. Jesus comes across John the Baptist baptizing and comes forward to be baptized, and John refuses him. You recall, he says, I can't baptize you. You are greater than I. And Jesus says, let's do this now to fulfill our righteousness. We remember that version. In Luke, it isn't such. Luke, John is doing baptizing, and Jesus is aware of it. But Herod throws John into prison, and then Jesus is baptized. So there's a disconnect there. There's a little bit of difference. It makes no difference whatsoever. Jesus is baptized, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the bodily form of a dove. And a voice from heaven, you are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. What a beautiful moment. What a beautiful celebration. And the scripture says, immediately he went into the wilderness for 40 days. I would have expected a party. I would have expected a party and a reception and, you know, gifts and that sort of thing. But he immediately goes into the wilderness and fasts. And all the while, that doesn't say at the end of, I checked. It says all the while in the wilderness, he is facing temptation. Every temptation, facing every temptation. It is our Lenten spiritual quest. We are in Lent. We are in the midst of that 40 days now. Have you made a decision about something in Lent that you are going to change, that you are going to give up, that you are going to fast from, that you are going to change? I have made a vow. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to try and keep it. To remind myself every day that this is a special period. This is a special time. This is a spiritual quest. And even at the end of that 40 days, we'll remember at the end of that scripture, it said the tempter departed until an opportune time. Temptation does not cease. Temptation is always. And everyone struggles. Jesus struggled. Pause and think about that a moment. Jesus struggled. Think about, you recall he went to his hometown and he was there and he was preaching and he was talking and they said, isn't this Joseph and Mary's little kid? You remember the one that you used to run around? He cannot possibly be the prophet. And they have eventually rejected Jesus. And he said, a prophet is not without honor in his own town. And continually, everywhere he went, the Pharisees and the chief priests waited for ways to trip him up. They were looking for ways that they could catch him. His was a struggle all along. Minimal in our remembering of all that happens. We don't think of all the things that he went through. But Holy Week, we remember, he was arrested, tried, scourged, and crucified. And tempted there. Before that evening, he knew they had the dinner. It was the Seder meal, and it was the time that we will celebrate in a moment. The Eucharist is his moment of saying, I found my church, and here you are to remember me through these elements. And after the meal, he knew it was his last evening free. And he was struggling. And he went out onto the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, Lord, take this cup away from me, but Lord, if this is your will, let it be done. It was not an easy journey. He struggled. And he struggled and was tempted. But he followed through and was crucified. If you've ever heard of The Last Temptation of Christ, it was a controversial film book, Nikolai Kazantzakis. He has a fictional question of whether perhaps Jesus was tempted on the cross as well. It's a holy moment, in my opinion. Some found it heretical. But that struggle reminds us that Jesus was not spared the trials and tribulations of life. Are any of you spared those trials and tribulations? And when they come to you, do you say, why me? I do. Somehow I think, Lord, I'm trying to do your work, brother. What is this? Why do I have to endure these things? Why this struggle? Why this pain? And the pause to reflect, Jesus struggled as well. Fred Craddock is the one that inspired that passage. He said, in the world, there is opposition to love, health, wholeness, and peace. Jesus struggled. Why should any of his followers believe that believing would make them exempt from those same struggles? Struggle doesn't mean we're not faithful. Struggle doesn't mean that we don't believe and that our hearts aren't in the right place. Struggle doesn't mean we're being punished, and that's one that's gotten awfully twisted around. If someone is going through something, there was a whole theology that they're being punished for something else. What sins did this young man's parents commit that he is blind or injured or... And that is not the case. We are not being punished when we struggle. And struggling does not mean that God is not with us. That alone is such a gift. We are never alone. God is with us through all things. So welcome to Lent. Welcome to this journey, this time to prepare. And I pray through God's grace that will each of us find a deeper insight into the Lord and into the Lord's love. And I pray through grace that God's grace will help us into deeper insight into ourselves. That's how we need to grow, isn't it? I pray that through God's grace we'll realize our gifts and graces and how to use them in offering Christ and in doing Christ's work in the world. And I pray that through God's grace that we will find ways to bear fruit. 40 days and 40 nights. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 days in Lent here and now. It will be gone in a moment. And yet it is a divine time. A blessed time. It is a gift to us from God to pause and to center ourselves and be God's people in whatever ways we're able. And to listen for the still, small voice of God. May your Lenten journey be blessed us. Amen.